Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Now, we're recording this early because where am I going to be when this comes out?
In Ibiza.
We're going to Ibiza. Ooh, I'm so excited.
Back to the island.
The island. I've got pre-rave tension. You know when you get like...
I've never heard anyone say that before. Can you please explain PRT? What pre-rave tension is?
PRT is when you have got like, you get like a bit squeaky bum because you get sort of the fear of the rave. You know when you know you've got a massive... This feeling hasn't happened to me for so long, but I'm going on SJ, my best mate. It's her hen do, which I've planned. And I know the itinerary, so I just know what I've planned for everyone. And there's just a lot of drinking, dancing, and I've got slight fear.
Oh my God. I've actually... When you just said it, I got nervous feeling in my stomach. I don't know why. That's so weird. You're giving me PRT?
PRT.
Pre-rave tension.
No, it's going to be good. And do you know what I'm trying to do is to have a bit more of a chill time. Like, we've got a boat day, which is going to be really fun. I say this
I'm
now.
I'm looking at you and I'm thinking like, no. You might as well just not speak because it's not going to happen,
that's fine.
Is it?
Dolls is flying out with the kids on Tuesday though, so then we've got Tuesday
to
Saturday, which will be really family-fied, and that's just going to be lovely. And it's our, you know, it's our first family holiday for a while, so we're really excited about it. So yeah, it's great. How are you?
I'm good. I will have actually been, I don't want to say raving because me and that word don't go together, but I'm going to a festival on Saturday, so you know, by the time this comes out, who knows who I'll be by then.
We've lost you, the woman to the woods.
Yeah,
like, what, who are you
we
seeing?
We are
playing?
Going to Soho House Festival. I've actually got no idea who's playing, if I'm honest with you. One of my friends told me that there is a lobster, like unlimited lobster, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll come.
You're so bougie. You're the
did
most
you see
bougie
what,
person.
I'm actually not, though. This is the thing. I'm actually not. But did you see Axel put a Rolex on his birthday list?
Please, can we talk about this?
What the hell?
Well, that's what Jack Grealish has got, so no wonder he's
oh
put
my
it
God,
down.
You're right. Because I said to James, I was like, how does he even know what that is? Secondly, why would he even like think about that? Because it's not like we talk about Rolex watches at dinner. Do you know what I mean? I wear an Apple Watch and James doesn't wear a watch. So, but then also it's linked with a trip to Wales. So I'm wondering what's going down in Wales, why he needs a Rolex watch to wear to Wales.
Anybody want to fill us in on what goes down in Wales? Yeah. That would be amazing.
Maybe there's a great Rolex shop there.
Exactly.
And it's where Jack Grealish gets his watches. So what every six-year-old wants. I'll be doing a gift guide on Instagram.
Please, answers on a postcard.
Yeah, all stuff
excellent.
You can pick up in the pound shop, I'm sure.
Well, that's hilarious. Everyone loved that on Instagram as well. But his writing was so good. He's so smart.
Lots of people saying that. That's lovely. But you know, like, how are you supposed to know? Because I don't see any other kids his age. I don't see their workbooks or their writing. So I've got nothing to compare it to. So I've got no idea.
Well, I am an expert in this field and I say he's a genius.
Well, I'll take that then. Brilliant.
Can we talk for a moment about Kit's growing pains,
gosh,
has been going down in our house
this
week. Jesus Christ.
Did you get them when you was younger?
All the time. I had major problems because basically I grew loads until I was 11 and then I have not grown since. At one point I had the biggest boobs in the class and basically now they would be the smallest boobs in the class if you like, if you were to do a comparison. But I played a lot of sport when I was a kid, so I got really bad growing pains, but I have identified it as that now. The first couple of nights, he was just wailing out and I was like, what's going on here? And then he finally started to sort of, I could make out that he was going, oh, legs.
Oh, bless him.
So he's obviously getting cramps. So I've just been taking everybody's advice. Thank you for all your messages. Cowpole, massage. Obviously, you can't give him deep heat and stuff like that, but I've just been like massaging his calves.
Is that what you're supposed to do? Like massage and yeah. cowpole yeah. and all that kind of stuff?
Yep.
Gosh, that's so interesting. I hadn't thought about growing pains, but I used to get them actually. And I never yeah. knew like what they were. I mean, clearly they didn't last long for me either.
We're the smallest girls in the world, but here we go. Look, let's get into today's chat because it was actually, you know, a lovely kind of meaty conversation. And we're so, so excited about this one because we've been trying to get this guest on the podcast for a couple of years now. But we finally managed to pin her down and what a delight she was to talk to. Covered so many topics as well. And it was I loved hearing her moment that she found out she was pregnant as well, because I don't know if she's spoken about that before.
No, there's so much in this chat that I've definitely not heard her talk about. I mean, you 3 months together and we just could have spoken to her all day. We covered so much ground, and it's a chat that, yeah, like Zoe says, we've been waiting a long time for, but it was absolutely worth it.
Definitely. So let's get into it, George. Who are we talking to today?
Today we are chatting to Rochelle Humes.
Well, I know that both Georgia and I are incredibly excited about today's conversation. And in fact, a bit of a pinch me moment, actually, because this woman is a total legend. Mother, businesswoman, presenter, podcaster. I mean, I could go on. I don't know how she fits in what she does day to day, but she manages it. And we just said, we move. Today's guest is Rochelle Humes.
Ah, that's nice.
How are you? How are you, Rochelle? What's your morning been like?
Well, today I had all the best will in the world to get up and like do some sort of workout before the kids got up today, but that didn't happen. So I got up. Valley had pirate day at school today. I don't even know what that means. So don't
pirate
ask
day.
Me. I'm literally as clueless as you are. All I know is Mr. Amazon helped me out and I found a pirate costume last minute. On
brilliant. Brilliant.
So she had pirate day. I've dropped her in. And then I dropped Alaya in, and then I realised Alaya forgot her glasses at home. So I went back, I dropped Alaya's glasses in, and then dropped Blake to nursery, got rained on because I decided to walk when it was raining because that's just what I do. And then I'm literally running here to you now. Now I start work. So I feel like I'm all a bit like, whoa.
You've made it.
I made the finish line.
It basically sounds like the normal morning in the life of a mother. I mean, yeah. The amount of shit that we get done before pre 9 a.m. is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah,
I actually had cleaned up actual shit before 8 a.m. this morning from the living room, from my daughter's bedroom. And as I came upstairs to record, because I record in the bedroom, I saw some on the stairs.
Wow.
And I just thought to myself, wow, how did I get here?
Who's been pooing in your house?
Gigi, we got rid of a dummy at the weekend and she's out to get us. So there we go.
She's doing the protest poo. She wants that dummy back.
She does.
Rochelle, I guess, there's so many things that we want to talk to you about today, but kick us off by kind of like where you are in your life now and how you're feeling about all of the juggling that you're managing to do with, you know, your presenting and your podcasting and obviously My Little Coco and stuff. And you know, having another child.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm so used to juggling at this point that I remember the days when I didn't, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really didn't like sit down and enjoy that enough and like soak that shiz up.
Yeah.
But yeah, listen, I am like, I try to really brain dump at work. So I come to my office and I like offload. And I really just try and leave it here. And that's sort of my way of dealing with it. Work from home just doesn't work for me at all. I just can't do it. I don't get anything done. I'm not good at one thing. You know, I'm not good at being a mum because I'm distracted by my work. And then I'm not good at working because, you know, someone's pooing. So, you know, I kind of have really had to sort of get good at setting boundaries and taking time for me too as a human in the midst of that. And just making sure that I don't pile my plates too high. And when I do, I can just do one and then do the other. So that's kind of how I'm there now. I feel like I'm just slowly getting into the swing of trying to find balance a bit between work and everything else that happens.
And what does your support network look like?
So my support network is my mum, basically. She retired from work, and I'm sure she probably thought she was about to sail off into the sunset and like chill out. But I had a nanny before, and it just didn't work for me. I didn't like it. I just didn't gel with it. I tried, and I just found it really, you know, like my week doesn't look the same from one week to the next. So I sort of had to have a nanny on a retainer, so that I'm like, okay, I need you this month, this week, and then the next week I might not. But then if she was working and then we were home and I was off, I'd be like, well, what are you doing here? Because I'm here, so this is really awkward. We're both trying to do the thing that...
Yeah.
And I just found it like, I just couldn't gel with it at all. And I'm fortunate that Marvin predominantly works evenings, unless we're like doing the hit list or he's, you know, doing something that might be like a concentrated period of time. Generally, on the whole, his radio show is in the evenings. In the day, he is about. So if I'm busy in the day, which is normally how that is for me, he'll do, you know, we're very even with our parenting. He's not like, it's not that daddy daycare people talk
about. Oh, God, yeah, we hate that.
Yeah, I hate all that. We're very, very equal. So we kind of are like that. So he sort of does day if I'm busy. And then, so I'm sort of like, I don't really feel like I needed somebody that wasn't going to tread on our toes when we were around. And then if I do, my mum is amazing and she kind of, where she's retired now, she's like, can I do school run this week? Or can I do this and can I do that? And then there'll always be something that I need her to help with. Or when we go away together to take the hit list, she'll stay over. And so I kind of just felt like, and I had a bit of a bad experience with like trust issues and stuff in a previous nanny role before. So it just didn't work with me and working. Like, I'm realistic. I know that it takes a village. I'm busy. And, you know, I work and so does my husband. So we need help. It's physically impossible that it's just us two. But I just feel a lot more comfortable that it's someone that knows and loves my kids in the way that I do. And then I do have someone that helps me with the house, keep the house tidy.
Yeah, you've got to have that. I mean, it's like,
I'm lucky. I'm like, that is, I really need that. And I look at my mum and I think, goodness me, like, when we were kids, she was on her own, spinning all the plates, no help at all, and she bossed it. And I just think, gosh, like, I take my hat off to her. So, yeah, I kind of feel a lot more comfortable now that it's my mum and not somebody else. I don't know why, it just really, it sits better with me now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that sort of eternal battle, isn't it? That if you haven't got any of your family close, that and if you want to work and you're trying to do it all, you have to have, you know, you have to pay somebody to come and help you.
It's
and then
really hard.
The feelings of guilt around that you're letting somebody else spend all this time with your kids and they're not your family members. I find it really difficult.
That is really, really hard. And my mum's like an hour away. So, you know, she's near enough, but she's not close. So she couldn't just pop if there was an emergency. So there's sometimes that little bit where I'm like, there'll be one day here and there where I'm like scratching my head in the morning thinking, like, how's this one going to go down? But it always does, doesn't it? Somehow it always figures itself out. But it's kind of, it's a really hard thing to put your trust into somebody that you don't know. You just trust the fact that they're good. And I had a situation that it wasn't good for me before, you know, not with anything bad with the children, but just, you know, trust issues with them. And it wasn't nice. And it kind of, it really sort of, you know, I feel like I got my fingers bitten a little bit.
Yeah.
But it is a really hard thing to do. And like you say, I'm fortunate that my mum can sort of step in and A, that she wants to. Like, I'm lucky that she's like, not like, I'm busy living my life. Leave me alone.
I know. I always say to Zoe, because my mum's sort of similar. She's not been around so much recently. But I'm like, when do you become that selfless? Like, when does that happen? Because I'm like, you know, thinking, okay, maybe 18 or realistically maybe 25, then I can like, okay, then I'm going to get my life back. And then I'm going to have grandchildren. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
And also, I can't like be a hypocrite. So when that comes to us, I'm going to have to be like, yep, don't worry, I'll take the grandkids here. I've got plans. Me and Marv are going to like go backpacking and travel the world. We had kids young, right? I had a lion when I was 23.
Wow.
So I plan to like, when my kids are like old enough, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in Ibiza.
You come and meet me here, Roche. I don't think I'm ever going to come home, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Oh, I don't blame you. I'll meet you there. Save me a lounger.
You just mentioned how young you had, you know, you had a lion. Just take us back to that moment that you found out that you were going to be a mother and the impact and I guess the emotions between you and Marv at that time.
Yeah, it's a weird one because we were young, but we planned that, right? Yeah. So we were trying for a baby, which is crazy. When I think of like my sisters now, and I think they, you know, they would be like, oh my gosh, that is like whoa to me. But I think we had lived such a sort of busy life by the age of 23. I felt like I'd done so much career-wise that I was really like happy that if this didn't work out and if, you know, I kind of feel ready to start a family, and that was something that was really exciting to me. So, and we got married at 23, and then within like 4 months after getting married, I felt pregnant, and it sort of happened, you know, fortunately, really quite quickly, and probably quicker than I thought. I was like, oh, let's start trying. And then I was like, whoa, okay, what happened? So, yeah, I kind of, I feel really, really fortunate for that. I really, really do. But at the time I was like, oh, okay, I didn't realise it was going to happen like that.
Do you remember the moment? Do you remember the moment where you did the test?
I remember the moment well. I remember going to, Marvin was an usher at his cousin's wedding, and one of my best friends is his cousin's wife. And I remember being in the church, and he had stayed there the night before because he was usher and I was meeting him the next day. And I remember sitting in the church thinking, whoa, I feel really sick. And I, although that you're trying, like you don't actually think.
Yeah.
It's the last thing that you actually think. It's just really weird. It's like, you're trying for a baby, but it's the last thing I actually thought. And I remember the vicar saying, just so everyone knows before we start, the toilets are over there. And I remember really intently listening to, hang on, where did he say they were? Because I actually feel like I'm going to one. So I remember making a little run and feeling like, you know, when you get that watery mouth, but I couldn't eat, but I felt sick and I was like, what is this? And then I felt okay, then fine the rest of the day. And then someone brought over like these prawn canapes and I was like, oh gosh, I couldn't, can't deal with that. And then there was just something in me. He had a gig that night. So we did the wedding. We were going home. And then he had like a DJ gig somewhere. Actually, it wasn't a DJ gig because he was still in the group. So it was a JLS gig. It was a must have been a concert or whatever afterwards that night. So he drove to, him and the boys had driven to Manchester. And then he must have got home that night at maybe like 4 a.m. the next morning after the gig. And I remember like, randomly thinking, I think I should take a pregnancy test. And like, he was probably thinking I'd had a lovely night's sleep. He'd got in at 4 a.m. And I was like,
really?
I think I might be pregnant. He was like, huh? I think I'm pregnant. He was like, okay. And then sort of went back to sleep. But obviously, I'm just me thinking I'm pregnant. So then I just got up, found myself to the cabinet, and there was my friend had just found out not long before, so I still had her tests that she did in my house in the cupboard, and I was like, I'm just gonna use one of these. And I'd never taken a test in my life before that, and I did it and it literally instantly said pregnant, and I was like, but I literally just weed and went and put it underneath, and I thought, and I said to him, Marv, it says I'm pregnant, but I think I've done it wrong because I didn't wait enough. It says that you've got to wee for a bit and then put it under. I didn't do that. And he was like, what? I said, but it says I'm pregnant. And then I remember Googling it and it would say, like, it would never say you're pregnant if you wasn't the whole night.
Yes.
So, but I was convinced I'd done it wrong. And he was like, whoa, hang on, right there a minute. Should I get you a drink? Do you need another wee yet? So he was like all tired. He went to the kitchen to get a drink. I was like, I can't wee yet. I've just weed. I don't need one.
The pressure to wee again. I can't do it.
And I actually remember, how juvenile is this? I remember the drink I drank. There was a Capri Sun in our fridge because my nephew had been over. And I remember down in a Capri Sun. And we were like in a group. So like we were like, our fridge was nothing at that point other than like, you know, like alcohol and like chocolate. There was nothing in the fridge. And there was this rogue Capri Sun because I had my nephew over the week before. So I downed this Capri Sun and then Yeah, excited. I was pregnant again. I was like, oh, I think I'm definitely pregnant. We were just okay. Oh my gosh. And then I had to get ready. I had a TV performance that day and he was like, should I come with you? I was like, okay. And then he was just sort of with me because I was pregnant. Like we wasn't telling anyone. Like, you don't really, I think I'm still all right, you know. And yeah, that was it. We were just all a little bit like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how was your pregnancy? And did you have sort of any fears around the impact having a child would have on your life and your career?
Yeah, I was worried about that. I remember like Una had a little one, not that long before, like I think there's like 18 months between them. And I just remember we'd just gone to America and we had a TV show out there, we were living there. And I found out I was pregnant when I'd come back from America for like a week. And then I knew I had to go back again. I was literally, I found out I was pregnant. I went to tape something and the next day I was flying to LA for like another few months. And I remember just finding it like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to hate me because we're now supposed to be like cracking America. And I know I'm pregnant. I don't want to tell them. They're going to know in a bit because I just didn't want to tell, you know, like I just want to tell everybody when I'm like, I'm just getting my head around this anyway and figuring out, okay, what do you do? Although I'd seen Una do it, so I wasn't scared, but it was just a different place in the Saturdays because now we'd had this opportunity in America. And I remember just thinking like, will it affect it? And I remember just being like, when I then did tell everybody, like, I will work till the end and I will do this. And I remember feeling, I was so sick. And I remember being like shooting music videos and like, I remember shooting a TV commercial in America for a TV show, running to the toilet every 2 minutes, but I didn't want to tell everyone I was being sick because I thought that they'd think I was incapable. It was almost like that feeling that you have when you have a hangover.
Yeah.
Kind of like, well, you went out and drunk last night, so you better get on with it. So I kind of, that's how I thought that everybody felt. So I kind of just wanted to just, it was just like I was battling on the whole time, like thinking, okay, we'll get through this. Don't worry, I'll do the single and I'll come back to work straight away. And I remember I was on like Lorraine, it was, I think, or like Good Morning Britain. I can't remember what it was at the time, like three, four weeks after having a layer.
Wow.
Like with like really sore boobs and Spanx.
Yeah.
Like,
Jesus, that's so soon.
It's so soon. And if I could like go back, I'd literally be like, Rochelle, can't. And I remember Marv being like, are you sure this is? But I was so, there was nothing he could tell me. I was like, I'm going, I'm doing it. So I kind of just wish I had somebody at that point going, it's all right. Like you can sit this one out. Like you've just had a baby.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be this superhuman, you know?
Do you think that's the pressure from society and the way that kind of, you know, as women, I know that I felt it as well. When I found out I was pregnant with Luna, I was like, I'm just not going to tell anyone. I'm just going to carry on going until the minute I drop and then I'm going to come back 10 days later and I'm going to, you know, I had this really weird, I don't know, the pressure of how I felt like I had to perform. Maybe I thought it was going to be harder. Yeah. Maybe I thought I'd lose out on jobs. Or do you think that that was something that you felt because of the way that you're a grafter and your work ethic? What do you think?
I think there's probably a real, 50-50 mix of that. And I think the way that maybe I felt was probably because I am part of society and we're all conditioned to think that women, you know, should work like they don't have kids, but then raise kids like they don't work. Like it's really, there's a real pressure on us. And I think, so maybe I put it on myself because I didn't want to let anybody down and I knew that's what everybody thought and I didn't want to be that. So yeah, there was definitely pressure to get back for sure. And I don't know if that is solely, you know, that was, if I looked back, I don't know if it was like, actually, Rochelle, you put all that pressure on yourself. That could have been the case, but I definitely felt the pressure. I'm not really sure where it was coming from, but probably 50-50, to be honest.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Did you learn from that, I guess, with your second and third children? Because I mean, I know I definitely did. You kind of, you know, your first, you not make loads of mistakes, but you do. And then with the second, you think, right, I'm not going to do that again. And I am going to, you know, stay at home for like the first couple of weeks and just soak it all in. Did you do that second time round, second and third time round?
A little more the second. The second time I definitely felt a lot more in control the second time. So the first time, I remember I got papped leaving a scan, my 12-week scan. And I don't know how it happened, but I got papped walking out of the clinic in London. And I was walking, we got papped, and then within about 3 hours, the newspaper was on the phone to my then manager at the time and was like, we know that she's pregnant, we're going to run it. Oh, and God. I remember being like, yeah, and I remember thinking, is that okay? And they knew that I was, I don't know how, but they knew I was 12 weeks. So I think by that point, it's okay to say. I don't know how that is a thing, but at the time, that's what they were saying. And I remember being like, we literally haven't told our family. Yeah. So I was like to my manager, wow. So literally on the way home, I'll never forget it, on the way home, Marv was driving, I was in the car, and you could still see the pap picture now, I'm wearing this poncho, and I just looked really like uncomfortable that I'm getting photographed, and I sort of felt like I knew where he knew where I was walking out of. It was all just a bit not nice. And I remember calling everybody, I'm like, let me just call everyone if this is going to run. And Twitter wasn't around that long then. And I remember just thinking, okay, I've called everyone and I'm going to tweet it because I don't want someone to be in control of my news, because it didn't feel like that's what we did. We called all of our family, we messaged, and there's always someone that you miss. And I remember tweeting it and someone be like, oh my God, you didn't tell me. I'm so sorry. I was so like, it was so rushed.
I called 25 people already. My phone's run out of battery.
Exactly. And then have to think about how you're going to announce it to the world. It was all very odd. So I remember thinking the second time, I didn't want anyone to know. And I was like, I had this real bee in my bonnet about not telling anyone. And I don't know why I did that, but I just felt like I really wanted to be in control of it. So I didn't tell anyone I was pregnant with Valley until I was 6 months pregnant.
Right, wow.
And it was amazing. I loved it. I felt like we felt invincible. We were like, hee-hee. I was doing stuff. I was wearing things that you wouldn't be, you know, you can hide it for, you know, I don't know how, but I managed to hide it until that point. And then I remember I was about to host Children in Need, and it's like 3 hours of live telly. And I never forget, my stylist came in and he was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to come, sort of, I don't know what happened, but he was like, I think we're going to have to say, we're going to have to, you know, I was trying on dresses that week and I was like, let's just wear all black. I'll stand front on. People might not be able to tell, but by that point, my boobs were massive, and like, people were either going to say that I had a boob job or
they looked so perky.
They were massive. They were just so different for me. They were out here. So he was like, so I literally did the fitting. I was like, okay, I think it's time. So then we posted that we were expecting, and it was just so nice because I felt so in control of it, and it felt like my own news. So I kind of handled that a little bit differently, and then I felt a lot different the second time. I felt in control. I knew what I was doing. I felt very relaxed. I really enjoyed it. I was like, my first pregnancy, I didn't enjoy it. I felt like I was an alien. I felt not myself. Yeah. I felt quite sick. But the second time, I loved it. And I just felt really in control of it. But I still went back to work early because I didn't learn from that the first time, classically. Not as early, but I just panicked, and I don't know why there was that thing in me that I was like, okay, but what if I don't work again this time? And now I have a baby that I need to make sure I'm working for. And then I actually felt the pressure more as a mum, actually, versus anything about, I just wanted to make sure that I still was capable of providing for her now. So it kind of, the pressure upped a little bit. The third time, I was in lockdown.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It was the first time, genuinely, like, obviously we were so fortunate that we were blessed enough. Nobody was ill. We were safe. We were lucky enough that we had a safe 4 walls to being around that awful period of time for so many. But for me, I actually, the sort of wheels fell off the world, and it was the first time that I could go, well, I can't go to work anyway. Yeah. And nor can anyone. So I was actually like, I was enjoying. I was really like, I mean, I felt quite sick at the start, but apart from that, I was, and then even, so I was pregnant throughout the lockdown. Then it opened up again. Do you remember the summer where it opened up?
Yeah. Again?
And then we went back into that second sort of lockdown that wasn't like the first, but it was a lockdown, you know,
yeah,
in October. And that's when Blake was born, was in October. So I actually had that time to just, oh, and it was so nice. I was like, mm-hmm. this is what I missed out on.
Yeah.
That first, you know, with the first two that I sort of didn't soak up. And I literally like drunk up every last drop of that baby bubble. Oh. And yeah, and I don't think we'll have any more kids. I think we're done now. So I'm really thankful for that time and that moment where I literally did just bond, and I breastfed at my leisure. I couldn't get on with breastfeeding last time, but it was probably the two times before, and that was probably because I was not in it.
Yeah.
I really, and this time I really, you know, I felt like a real mum. You know?
Yeah, a really present kind of enjoying the bubble, the newborn
really
bubble.
Did.
Yeah, yeah.
I did, and I'm so thankful for that. So, yeah, I kind of, and yeah, there were downsides of it. Obviously, like he didn't meet anybody for a long time, and it was a bit weird. Like everybody just, a lot of people like, oh my God, I just feel weird that you've got a baby now, because I feel like I didn't even see you pregnant. I didn't know you were pregnant this time, because it was just a weird, blurry year. But yeah, I feel lucky that I know that in myself that I think we're, well, I say this, but I'm pretty certain that we're complete. We've had the convo.
But you never know.
When you see a newborn baby, do they twinge when you see a newborn baby? I always think
always.
That's the test.
But do you know, that's my problem. They always will. So yeah. I just need to be sensible and know that we're done.
I get that.
Rochelle, what sort of a mum are you, and what are the parts that you really, really love? And then what are the parts that maybe you struggle with slightly or find kind of difficult to navigate? Because obviously you're like, your girls are getting big. Like it's not going to be long till they're teenagers.
I know. I'm scared about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so scared about that.
Yeah. I'm good because I've got nieces. I've got friends with older kids that are like getting into. So I feel like I'll have so much advice, which is great, but I'm scared about that. I think the things that I dislike about parenting is the routine of it all. Now I feel like I'm, and it's mad, but I feel like I'm the best version of myself as a parent when we've all broken up from school.
Yeah, right.
This sounds really weird because all my friends are like, oh my God, I can't wait for, and I know what they mean. Like it is quite nice where you're like, okay, I've got, but I'm like the worst version of a parent when I have to rush everyone out of the house in the morning and it's all go, go, go. And I don't like that. I feel like a nag. I feel like I've like snapped at them because are your kids really slow in the morning?
Oh God. Can you put your shoes on? Please, can you put your shoes on? Go and brush your teeth. They don't do fucking anything. It's so annoying.
Honestly. And I hate myself that I've then like probably snapped at them on the way into school. And then I think about it all day and I'm like, oh gosh, like she had a spelling test today and I moaned at her because she took about an hour to do her shoes. I hate that version of it. I hate that naggy person that I can become at points of being a mum. That's what I'll never gel with that, because that's just not, like, I'm so easygoing in life, in work, in, like, I just want everyone to be in a good environment. I want it to be chilled. And it's that with parenting that I'll never sort of get used to. The fact that, like, I have to be the one to say no and to be the bad one. I'd hate that. I really hate that.
Yeah, I get that.
I want to talk to you about imposter syndrome, because I feel like, you know, for somebody especially like you who's got so many strings to their bow, and I know loads of people listening will kind of feel this. It's like, how can I be the best mother? How can I be the best businesswoman? How can I be the best partner? And are there moments where you think, shit, I don't know if I can do this?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Do you know what, Zoe? I think that now I've, like I was saying before, like I've really got myself into the rhythm of how this looks and how this works for me. It's taken me three children to get there. It's taken, you know, I've been married 10 years this year. Like it's something that I feel like I'm just starting to get the grip of now.
Yeah.
And I think it really comes with boundaries. And it's like, I have always been that person that thinks like, I count my lucky stars that I'm in the industry that I'm in. And I've always been, I suppose, I'm thankful, but I've always sort of been like, I felt like I'm in debt to someone because of it. Oh, I'm okay. It's fine. We'll make it work. We'll make it happen. And I feel like over the past year or so, I've got used to the fact that actually you don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to, as in, because it's good for you to do that, because actually, you know, you don't, you know, it's a good relationship to, or, you know, trying to constantly think that you're lucky to be here. And I, yeah. Look, we all are, but a point you have to go, I'm not just lucky. Let's not let this imposter syndrome eat away at us forever. Like, I'm valued here and I know what I'm doing and I've been doing it for X amount of time for a reason. You have to sort of put that hat on and know your worth. And I think in doing that, and it doesn't mean that you have to be a complete asshole, by the way. It just means that, like, for example, this can be like not just in the workplace, by the way. This can be like friends. Like, if I message someone and was like, oh, right, can we go for lunch on this day? I always feel a pressure to go, oh, my goodness, yes, I've not seen you for so long, we need to. Knowing full well that week is really hella busy for me. I've got the kids, someone's got sports day. It's going to be a real stress to make this lunch happen. I'm probably not going to enjoy it. I'm going to be clock watching the whole time. Like, and if someone said to me, oh, do you know what, babe, I can't make that day, I wouldn't think, oh, how bloody dare she?
Yes.
I'd just go, oh, okay, no worries. Well, when can we do soon? But I always used to put this pressure on myself that, no, I have to do that because I should do that, really. So I'll meet her for lunch and then I'm probably not present. And then I'm just trying to sort of make sure everything happens, but actually nothing's happening at its greatest level.
Yeah. And also I think when you do that, you spend your whole week dreading all the things that you've got in your diary and not enjoying any of it, even though if you took a couple of them, they're really lovely things to be doing.
They're
but
nice,
if you jam-pack your list, you're like...
yeah.
Oh,
so
gosh,
I've just got really good at, like, lately of going, actually, I'll do this day. Actually, now after that, like this afternoon, Alaya's got a hockey match and I actually really want to watch her hockey match. So I'll work until this point and then I'm off because I'm doing that. And then that's it. And I won't be by my phone. So I've just got a lot better at saying no and not feeling bad for it. Because it's all right. No doesn't make you a bitch. No, it just means that you're actually like trying to balance it. And that's the only way that you'll start to get balance in life is if you just put that on pause.
Someone said something to me the other day. They said, do you know what's just as good as a yes? And it's a quick no. And I think that has really stayed with me, because you can say, you know, if you agree to do something, like you've got someone's birthday dinner in and you know that you're not going to be able to make it because of X, Y, and Z, but you're still saying yes until the day of it. And then you've let someone down. But if you just say to them, you know what, thank you so much, but I'm not going to be able to make it.
It's done that day. It's done.
Damn.
So why do we make such a bloody big deal of it?
I don't know. This is ringing so true to me at the moment. I'm suddenly like...
It's true, isn't it? Because you spend that whole day, like Zoe just said, like, and even the day before thinking, I've got that thing tomorrow, I'm going to have to cancel it. Yeah. No, I'll cancel it in the morning. And then you've only got 24 hours and you're like, is it better to do it now? Is it worse if I do it like 2 hours before? Or should I just wait? Oh no, I'll wait. I'll cancel it in the morning. And then you're like, no, just say no. You were never going to go, Ross. You knew you couldn't go.
Yeah.
So like you say, the quick no. And if you instantly in that moment go, oh, I actually can't that day, sorry. But let's get together soon. It's done. We're all crazy.
Really interested in the sort of psyche behind that, because I think that's also to do with your like self-worth and like being asked to do something. You never want to let anybody else down. But in doing that, you're letting yourself down and you're letting loads of other people down, because you're making too many commitments and saying yes to too many things. Yeah. And then you feel like an octopus being dragged in all these different directions. Yeah. I feel like the boundaries.
And you feel bad.
Thing. Yes.
You feel guilty.
Absolutely. It is, and that's what my point. It really is a boundaries thing. Like, we all have become so happy to like please everybody whilst compromising our own happiness. And I just think life is so short. Like, you know, tomorrow's never promised. That's one thing we're all sure of, right? Like, and if I've spent my week making sure I went to this for that one, saying yes to that thing that I didn't want to do, but I felt bad to say no, like, you know, we're all here once. What are we all doing?
Absolutely. Moving slightly to a different subject, but you've got two girls and a boy. Zoe and I have both got a girl and a boy, two girls and a boy. What do you see any differences between raising your girls and your son?
Yeah, I'm weak for that boy.
Oh my God, me too.
Yeah. Are you?
Are obsessed you? With him. I just can't say no
I'm
to him.
Obsessed He's with him.
I know.
Did you have two girls and then a boy?
So my eldest is my stepdaughter, but I've known her since she was, you know, 15 months old. And then I had Luna, and then Kit came, and then I was like, oh my God, this is completely disarming.
So, but you're in that order. Yes. You're in that order.
Yeah,
though,
same
right?
as you.
Two girls
yeah,
and a boy.
Yeah.
Although I had my son first and then my daughter, right. and I'm still as obsessed with my son. And I say all the time, I'm like, he's the golden child, he's the perfect child. He's the, and not in front of her or him, obviously. But to anyone who listens.
With you. My mum says to me, what are you like with that boy? She says it's, and I can't, he just has to give me a look and I cannot. Is it the opposite sex thing? Is that,
yes.
is that, I don't know what it is, but there's something like, I listen, my firstborn, my mid, like my girl, I adore them. They're my children. Of course, we don't need to justify that. We're not bad people here, but no. My boy, I don't know what it is. I just like, he could do anything, but then I need to make sure that doesn't translate into that really annoying mother-in-law that thinks the sun shines out of their mum, their son's bum. So yeah. I need to like, do you know what I mean? We need to make sure we don't, we like, I'm going to have to be really good with him at disciplining him too, because he makes me melt. So I'll just be annoying.
Yeah. And also you just don't want to be that person. I've seen it firsthand.
No.
It's like glaring at, you know, his future partner, his life partner, whoever that is. And just like giving them the eyes during the wedding, being like, I want to be standing there getting married to my son.
we can't, we can't do that.
Axel got a letter in his book bag recently, just before Christmas, I think. And it said something like, oh, Axel, I love you so much. Blah, 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 blah. And my husband looked at it and he was laughing. He was like, oh my God, look at this. This is so funny. I genuinely, like, I felt devastated. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's really funny. And inside I am raging. I'm like, oh my God, who is this person? Oh God, I can't believe it. And it's so weird because I know that feeling is so wrong and so weird, but I had it. It was there. I felt it in my stomach.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, I'm, you know, I'm really like, I'm like merely aware of that. So I'm like, I can't be like a pain. You know, I don't want that to be the future for my son or son's partner. But I just think, yeah, there's something about a son and a mum that it's just undeniable. I can't, I don't know what it is, but I'm obsessed with him.
I try and describe this feeling quite a lot. And I think it's because it's the first male relationship in my life that isn't a romantic connection, but I feel the male energy. So it sets something inside me off that I'm used to and it's familiar, but it's this powerful love that I've never experienced before. So sometimes when he's looking at me and like touching my face and he's like, kiss on the lips, mommy, I'm like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, I could just fucking eat you, because it's really,
it's like
hard.
Edible, like I could literally just
I know.
I'm so with you. It must. You're right in that theory. It must be totally that.
Yeah,
it must
absolutely.
Be.
We must have put it to discipline.
I've never had a love for a male in that love. You know, so it's kind of like it's first, isn't it? It's first sort of. It's mental. But I'm so glad it's not just me.
Let's keep checking in with each other, ladies, because what we don't want is to have the psychopathic mother-in-law tag when they're older.
That. We can't be that. That's not what I'm destined to do.
Check
I
back be, in I like
the,
20
I
years.
I want to be the friendly one. I want to be the friendly one. Yeah, exactly.
So obviously you've got so much going on at the moment. Could you just tell us about your collection with Regatta?
Mm-hmm. So basically, Regatta came to me, and I, over lockdown, I don't know about you, but we were just outside walking, and it's something that I've actually really kept up, especially like this morning walking to, you know, I'm trying to make those little choices of walking to the nursery versus, you know, driving constantly. I mean, today it did rain, which actually the Regatta comes in handy on those scenarios. But yeah, so they sort of presented to me over lockdown their collection and said, you know, this is our outdoor wear, can you put an edit together for us of your favorite bits and what would you wear and how would you wear it? And that's exactly what I did. And it's like amazing because it's performance wear, but it can still look nice. You sort of always, you know, a lot of the time you write it off to being a bit like, oh, that's not very me, but actually like I've put together some really nice bits and made a little collection out of it.
No, I love how you do that. I think you've got a real skill at making, you know, it like you just said, it's kind of like it's outdoor wear that you'd go sort of walking or, you know, with the family or hiking, whatever it is. But actually you still look really, really glamorous in it, and they're really nice pieces,
nice.
Really wearable. Yeah,
you do. And it is wearable, so much so that I don't just, like, you know, I wear it to, you know, like the little crop puffers and stuff. I wear to the gym as well when I'm going to gym class, or, you know. So I think there are definitely, it's all about how you put it together, isn't it? It is so performance driven. So, like, if you're getting rained on, you're actually all right.
Yeah, you're actually going to be dry, because that's the thing. Is on the school run, you can guarantee 3 o'clock the heavens open. And it rains all the time.
And they do really good stuff for kids as well. Like, I've got the kids some of their little water, you know, like, even to take into school was their little, like,
rain coats.
Yeah.
Where can people see the edit? Just online at regatta.com.
Online at regatta. Yeah, that's
lovely.
Right. Yeah.
Rochelle, before we say goodbye, we always like to ask our guests on the podcast to give us the best piece of advice that they've ever been given, or the piece of advice that they would give a new parent.
Yeah, I think the best piece of advice was from my mum. I remember the first time, well, when I was expecting Alaya, so expecting my first child, and I remember thinking, and I would go out and I would... Someone just had to say, oh, you should try one of these. And I would be like, okay, I'll order one of those. I think I need one of those. And you would just take advice from everybody. And I remember my mum saying to me, like, you just have to learn your baby. The baby in the book that you read about isn't going to be the same as your baby. And you have to just, you can't overthink, have I got this? Especially, like, if you're a little bit younger, like I was, like, you kind of doubt that you're going to be able to sort of snap out of this selfish life that we all lead before we're parents. I kind of just think, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. If someone could have just said to me, like, the baby will get here and you will know what to do by instinct, like, whether that takes you a little time to figure it out, but you will know, because you learn your baby, you know, and you understand what they need. And someone else might hold the baby and they can't settle the baby in the way you can, because you know, the baby's yours. And I think there's a power in that more than you actually know, just by default, you know.
Absolutely.
I think you put so much pressure on thinking, okay, so what do I do? And what time is this? And why is my baby not? And they will, it'll all figure itself out. They'll sleep in the end. I've never met, they'll talk in the end, they'll eat in the end. I think we put so much pressure on it. I've never met an adult that's crawling still and not walking and can't talk and doesn't sleep. Like, we all get there, right? Because that's what we have to do. I think it's all, everything's so temporary. So I think you just really can't sweat the small stuff. Don't compare yourself to another mum. Don't compare your kid to another kid. Like, just... like, go with it, because I'm already thinking Blake is getting too big now and I know he's going to be my last. I'm already trying to hold. I'm going to be that mum that's like, with Blake, I'm going to be like, oh no, he doesn't need pull-up shit. He can be in nappies forever.
I just want to be in the buggy going to school.
He's like, mum, I'm in year 3. Can you get me out of my buggy?
Rochelle, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute joy to chat to you.
Sorry it took so long.
No, we got you there. We got you.
Thank you.
We got there in the end.
Lots of love. Take care.
Right. See you later. Bye.
I'm actually worried for our sons when they get older, all of them.
God. Well, you know, since we've had that chat, I've been so much more aware of my favouritism towards kids. Like, I tried to do it internally, but obviously my actions show that I'm all over him. And it's not in a creepy way. He's my littlest. And there's that boy, you know, magnetism, which is quite hard to describe and put into words. But I think we did a pretty good job of describing it in that conversation. And we don't, it's not just us. Rochelle feels
exactly
the same.
So it must be normal, for sure. It's all of us. So we do love our girls as well. We really, really do.
I found it really interesting that we covered the topic of, you know, her feeling concerned and worried that when she was in the Saturdays and she found out that she was pregnant, that she didn't want to tell anyone. So she wasn't necessarily enjoying that process. I really related to that with my heart conversation, because I was so worried about telling them that I was pregnant, because I thought I was going to lose my job.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was in a similar, not similar position, but I think we get a lot of messages from people saying, oh, I'm dreading telling my boss. I don't know what's going to happen. And it's so much more common than you think across all industries. Like, I didn't tell anybody for quite a while, and I think it was pretty obvious at work that I, you know, I was pregnant, but I couldn't tell anyone because I was going for a new role and I thought that it would get in the way. Isn't that mental?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just hope that it is all in our heads and that it is actually, you know, people don't judge you for being pregnant or think you're going to be incapable. But I mean, guess so many of us feel that way.
We just got to keep having these conversations, yeah. George. I think that's the only thing we can do, really, is keep talking about it. And then, you know, people don't have the option to not be okay with it.
Yeah, and they know how to react.
They have to be okay with it.
They know how to react. And yeah. They know it's so wrong to react in any other way. And like I said, it happens across all industries, like so many different industries. And if you know, if you're going through it at the moment, then just go in bright and positive. And it, you know, how can anyone react to you in a bad way if you're really upbeat and positive and happy about it? If you're, it says more about them than it does about you. If they react in the wrong way.
Totally. And I think going back to the Rochelle chat, again, so many takeaways from there. What an amazing woman. I don't know how she manages to do it all, but I feel like we all need a bit of Rochelle in our lives because she's an absolute mum boss. So hopefully you enjoyed that conversation as much as we did. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow too. That would be amazing.
Yeah, and if you are new to the podcast, we are on Instagram. We're at Made by Mummers. And any feedback you've got on this episode or any guests you'd like to see, then please do drop us a DM. We always try to reply to all the messages and we will be back on Friday. Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.